Hi, I'm Bill Ullman, President of the Adhesive and Sealant Council, and welcome to the latest edition of our monthly podcast. Each episode, we'll be discussing some of the biggest issues and trends affecting our industry and look at what this means to our membership. To make sure you don't miss out on future shows, hit the subscribe button. We hope you enjoy the program.
All right, Brian Peters here with the Adhesive and Sealant Council. I serve as membership director for the Trade Association, spending time here with Lisa Anderson. Lisa, good to connect again. You are founder and president of LMA Consulting Group. We used your speaking services, I guess, maybe 2 months ago at our executive leadership conference, where we had 80 to 90 industry thought leaders, executives, and you gave a great presentation and update to that group. So we thank you for your past involvement with our association and our members. It's great spending time here now. So thank you for making time. You know, as I think about our conversation, this could be entitled Supply Chain 101. Instead of a 20 or 30 minute conversation, it could be a 2 week sort of class. But I guess as we look back over these 2 months, and again, I'm not the supply chain expert or guru, but to me, a lot of stuff has changed. A lot of kind of higher level issues on our members' radar, I would think. I guess, as you look back, what are some of the top things that you're looking at? Or, you know, as you look at your consulting group, what are you tracking? What should our members be aware of? I love any kind of 2 cents of maybe the top three or four rocks that our members hopefully are thinking about, but should be looking at a little bit closer. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, definitely. As you said, the supply chain continues to be, riddled with risk, if you will. There's, from Houthi rebels attacking ships in the Suez Canal to Hurricane Helene destroying, some important manufacturing facilities for IV fluids that, you know, risk pretty much rages in the supply chain. So from that point of view, we need to be thinking about diversifying our supply chain so that we have options, because these risks and disruptions are not going to lessen anytime soon. So we really need to be diversifying risk. We need to be looking at regional supply chains. So, you know, supplying North America from North America, or, you know, from the Americas, if you will, supplying Europe from Europe, and so on. And we need to be looking at expanding manufacturing capabilities so that we have the ability to meet customer needs, especially on tight timelines, and also to prepare for the future, because it'll be a easier way or a better way to control risk.
I thought about that because, you know, you look at our membership base, you know, ballpark or estimates, we have about 120 member companies. Half are finished good manufacturers. They make their own branded product. The other half are more raw material chemical suppliers. And then you throw in some distributors, you know, kind of in that mix. I guess your ideas, thoughts, best practice, like when you look at or just collaboration in general, what should that look like? Or what would you recommend, you know, as you look at our membership base, how would you define collaboration? Or what does that look like in your eyes between, you know, both of our member types?
You know, that brings up a good point. We could go into different strategies for both of your sets of members, if you will. But collaboration is definitely going to be an important aspect in the supply chain of the future. In fact, we're going to go from more of thinking about, supply chain partners as vendors and looking for the lowest price to, or we better be, looking at them more as suppliers and really even partners, because, you know, we're really, really only as strong as our weakest link in the end-to-end supply chain. And with as many risks as there are in the supply chain today, we've got to be collaborating closely, be very well aware of, our supply chain partners' supply chains, and also, you know, how reliable they are. We're going to have to be much more proactive. So I would say that collaboration is going to be elevated, at least with the proactive, executives. And it will also actually be formalized to a greater degree because we can't take chances anymore. And so we're going to, you know, if we be formalizing our supplier relationships to a greater degree, and we may even, you know, go into some strategic partnerships and vertical integration in the future. But at the minimum, we need to be like sharing information, demand, supply. There's quite a few topics I could go on about, but I'll, you know, we'll make it, keep it interactive.
Sure. No, that's good. Yeah. I mean, I kind of, you know, I think communication would be, you know, somewhere in that conversation or pretty high on that radar. Again, sharing, as you mentioned, but, you know, that communication aspect of it, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, it needs to happen, and it needs to happen, you know, faster. And then also, I guess, kind of the element of trust, you know, you said strategic partners, but yeah, just that the ability to, you know, relay information, data in a timely manner, but, you know, that trust factor is also a piece of that conversation, I would think. And so, yeah, so we look back at the executive conference, you know, I think almost a week or two before that, you know, we had the port strike, you know, round one, I guess, you know, back then. Any, you know, as you look in your crystal ball, and again, we can't, you know, dictate or, you know, hypothesize, but, you know, it's still kind of out there, you know, in our members' eyes. Any best practices, or I would think our members, you know, have been preparing for this even, you know, before the event back in September and October, but your thoughts on any just, you know, preparation or thoughts and best practices that are in your eyes, Lisa?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it really does go back to your last comments on communication. When I was referring to sharing demand and supply information with your supply chain partners, that's a piece of it, because if there are disruptions in your supply chain, you have to have quick communication so that you can, you know, react, be resilient in changing your source of supply, changing your transportation, doing whatever you need to do. So I wanted to emphasize that you're absolutely correct there, that real-time communications and even, you know, utilizing technologies to have instant communications and visibility through your supply chain will be critical. And it will be critical certainly to your members that utilize the ports. So from the port point of view, you're right. Most clients and companies have become a little bit more agile, at least since the pandemic, realizing that they have to be thinking ahead. And since the port strike is actually likely to occur, just because it's a little bit of a catch-22, but there are issues between automation and whether we're going to really stick with no automation, which would be concerning from an efficiency point of view. And on the other hand, you know, the flow of goods movement is really critical. So it'll be a quandary. It's 50-50 whether the strike will occur. Now, they should be really thinking about moving products through the West Coast ports, because they won't be impacted by the strike, and then you know, sending them across the country via rail. That is actually, you know, the supply chains have been somewhat resilient like that for many years. So we're seeing that happen. The West Coast ports are receiving quite a bit more product, although it's not quite that simple where everything can just suddenly happen. So it is going to be where you should have, you should be planning for extra inventory on your critical products. You should also be looking at pre-positioning inventory. You know, it depends on your supply chain makeup, and your relationships with your customers. But just as much as you should be communicating with your suppliers, you should also be proactively communicating with customers. So you may be storing some of your products at customers. So I would just recommend that, to the best that you can, you're finding alternate routes. You're finding backup modes of transportation, which is not going to be convenient because it'll be more costly, to be sure, like air freight as an example, compared to, you know, if you have an urgent situation, it's not going to be inexpensive. And, you know, that you also are looking at pre-positioning inventory and strategies like that. Now, the issue is a lot of these are, you know, temporary solutions. What you really should be doing is going back to the original question. You should be looking at diversifying your supply chain, reconfiguring your supply chain, reshoring some of the production, you know, like be thinking about what you can do, adding some additional suppliers, because these types of disruptions, is whether it's a port today and some sort of a conflict tomorrow, these disruptions are going to continue to occur. So you also need to add technology into your end-to-end supply chain so that you can be aware of these situations.
Gosh, a lot of stuff. Won't happen overnight, but very important points. Lisa, thank you for your kind of peek behind the curtain. And I serve in a membership capacity here at ASC, and so I like the adding and diversifying your suppliers. So who knows, maybe that'll help me with recruitment and finding some new partners within the association. So, but I want to go back to Agile. My previous association, you know, our membership look was more contractors, certainly distributors and wholesalers, and then also manufacturers. But Agile to me, you know, we started kind of looking at that, kicking that, you know, kind of down the road 5, 6, 7 years ago. But what does that mean? And when you say agile, or, you know, just the ability to move fast, how would you define that for our members, or what is agile in your eyes, Lisa? Love just your thoughts on that.
That's a really good question, actually, because there are a lot of supply chain folks who throw around buzzwords, you know, like become resilient, become agile. It sounds easy. But to your point, really what we should be doing is, three things, really. We should become more resilient, which is really another word for agile, but that just means that you respond quickly to changing conditions. So that means that you have to be aware of those changing conditions. So that's why I was saying that we need to be communicating with our supply chain partners, which also includes transportation, goods movement types of folks. We also should be establishing technologies so that we can be aware of changing conditions. And then we respond quickly to changing conditions in a way that serves our customers with value, and also that, you know, is obviously more efficient and profitable for us as, you know, the company that's handling the situation. So that's one, that's resilient. Resiliency, if you will, then really what we should be doing is more predictive, right? Because like, why wait till everything happens to you and then respond quickly? Instead, it'd be better to be more predictive and collaborating with your supply chain ahead of time, because the more you can understand about what's likely to happen, which you can't do in a bubble. So you need to be looking at, you know, establishing relationships with the end-to-end supply chain, certainly establishing relationships with like your council and other partners so that you can be aware of likely changing conditions ahead of time. And you can also use some predictive type functionality in your ERP system and related softwares to supplement it. But I would never recommend just looking at a system and not, you know, common sense and talking to people. So you should try to get ahead of changing conditions. Another strategy there is SIOP, that sales inventory operations planning type process. That is more of a predictive process to look at, you know, changing conditions in the demand in your sales forecasts. And then also looking at your setup of your supply chain, whether they're prepared to respond and whether you have enough options to respond to likely changing conditions. And also, you know, of course, what's the most profitable approach and what's the least amount of risk. So that's another predictive strategy. So there's resilience and predictive strategies. And then I think the third thing I was thinking was, you're right about speed, because speed, which, you know, could be associated with either of, you know, resilient or predictive, but speed in today's supply chain is critical because, well, you know, we're all living in this Amazon impacted world where we expect instant deliveries and instant, you know, gratification, if you will. So basically, even in certainly in businesses as well, you know, we have to be responding to changing conditions quickly. So that's more about speed, not necessarily resilience. And from that point of view, you really should be looking at upgrading your planning, supply chain processes, use of ERP systems and technologies, you know, and looking at automating what you can, because obviously if you can automate it, it's going to go quicker, assuming that you do it in the right way, because of course you can automate it and have everything flying off the end of production lines, as that funny Lucille Ball example. But basically those are the three ideas I would have for that question.
And then you can sprinkle on top of all this in our conversation, potential tariffs. Again, nothing really new for probably our membership base, but any, you know, without getting to the politics of the conversation, but any thoughts or your analysis with kind of where things are going? Love any 2 cents there, Lisa.
Yep. Well, if only we had a crystal ball, right? But I think that really what I see is that the tariffs are really more of a negotiating tool. Now, with that said, some are likely to take place. It's just which ones. And so I think really what you have to be looking at is, again, diversifying your supply chain. You also need to be looking at where you're diversifying to, because, you know, if you're with a, you know, how much can you count on your supply chain partners? Are they competitors of the U.S.? Are they like, are they a communist country or are they not? So you have to look at, unfortunately, you have to be much more knowledgeable today than you ever have before. If you're going to be in supply chain, you not only need to know all of those that I just talked about, but you really should be aware of natural resources and what are some critical, energy and or water complications, or, you know, like what is it that your supply chain needs to function? And, you know, who might control or what countries might control some aspects that might be critical. And if you think about that, you can be a little bit more predictive of where the tariffs are likely to fall. And or don't worry about tariffs. You should be worried about like being under the control of something, you know, of someone else that you can't control, so that you can serve your customers. So you should be diversifying your supply chain and getting backup sources of supply, and definitely looking at doing some level of reshoring or, you know, nearshoring/friendshoring, so that you can mitigate the tariff risks and also mitigate your risks, so that you can make sure you serve customers successfully.
Good insight, Lisa. Appreciate your look at that. And then kind of pivoting a little bit over the past year, you know, I've been seeing, it seems more and more week to week, but again, this might be a little bit outside your specialty, but, you know, you look at cyber and cyber attacks. I don't know if that's something that your team and, you know, the consulting group looks at, but any, you know, again, as it relates to our conversation, you know, I really don't see this going away, or if anything, it's going to continue to happen. But any best practices or thoughts as it relates to cyber attacks or stuff that you've seen from your lens, Lisa?
Cyber is definitely a critical piece of the supply chain. So as I said, unfortunately or fortunately, depends on your experience, I think. But you need to be well informed to be successful in today's supply chain. So that includes you need to be taking action against all risks. And one of those key risks I was talking about as far as the extended supply chain would be cyber risk. Because if you think about it, we have a lot of connection points in our supply chain with vast opportunity for, cyber risk. You know, it could be with a supply chain partner, could be a supplier. It also could be a device, right? An IoT type device within our supply chain. So there's plenty of opportunities, unfortunately, for cyber attack. I mean, certainly, you know, that's been proven with the SALT typhoon, recently, and there's a lot of cyber in the news. So what you really should be doing is putting in cybersecurity type protocols. You definitely need to be looking at protecting your IT infrastructure and technologies. You know, there's something to be said for cloud computing. However, you know, it's never as simple as just saying, great, I checked this box off and everything is well, because who knows who's like dealing with your cloud computing. So you need to make sure that you're vigilant in establishing cybersecurity protocols, educating, you are responsible to educate your team members. And you have to be thinking about it in the broader sense, because there are so many devices and connections in today's supply chain. And we were talking about the collaborations in supply chain earlier today, which goes back to opportunities for cyber attacks. Well, I was going to say, hopefully not in just picking up the phone, but then again, I did mention Salt Typhoon, so I don't know. But basically, there's plenty of opportunities, so you really just need to be vigilant. Not paranoid, because obviously you wouldn't get anything done, but vigilant, because you want to protect yourself against the most likely concerns. And, you know, then again, it goes back to supply chain partners. So who are you dealing with, and how likely is it that you may have a cyber attack? Like, for example, in China, if you have a supplier in China, any data you have that goes into China at all, you know, through a computer, so pretty much anything, can be seen by anyone in China. It's a law. So, you know, that's there. You don't even need to worry about cyber, because it can just be seen. So you just have to be aware of, you know, your supply chain partners and the rules and what you're dealing with.
And you mentioned risks in various, you know, points within our conversation. You know, there's a lot of headwinds, a lot of stuff that we've talked about, but how should our members, our companies, is there a matrix, or, you know, to calculate certain higher levels of risk, lower, what would you recommend as like a starting point? Or maybe there's a resource that you have, but like, as they look at all these different headwinds, like, is there something that's out there that they can use, or your thoughts on that, Lisa?
You know, that's a really good question. Yes, there are. And, you know, I like have a simple supply chain assessment tool on my website, but you just gave me a thought of expanding that. And we also do that type of, you don't have to necessarily do it with us, but you can find a company to partner with to do a supply chain assessment that, of course, looks at risk as well. You can do the same for your, like, computer infrastructure. There are firms that do that. And it is worth it to do a quick assessment, make sure that you address any gaps. Now, you may be able to do that internally as well. It just depends on what types of resources you have in your organization and what types of skills. But I would say it's, I've had multiple clients over the years that have had cyber attacks. And the reason that they're still around is because, as somebody told me recently, is because they were medium-sized. Most small companies go out of business with a cyber attack. With that said, no one wants a cyber attack. And the ones that I'm thinking of on the top of my head were actually, you know, already relatively vigilant. So you really need to surround yourself with experts to ensure that you can respond. Again, be predictive, make sure you prevent these issues, and that at the same time be resilient if things arise, so that you can respond accordingly.
Well, Lisa, thanks for all your insights. And man, it seems to me, just again, outside looking in, a lot of headwinds. And again, I think our members, you mentioned proactive at different times. I think, or I hope, most of our members are kind of in that bucket, or, you know, kind of they've been thinking and working through this with their respective teams. But, you know, the perception, it could seem like, well, Brian, Lisa, you know, this conversation's all doom and gloom. But, you know, let's kind of flip that on its head if we can, Lisa. You know, I would think, and maybe from your perspective, you know, there's light, there's glimmer of hope, you know, there's opportunities. What are your thoughts, you know, to, you know, for the companies that are rather more proactive, or they're kind of going down this journey and path? What's your insights, or just from a positivity, you know, there are certainly opportunities. How can our members kind of take advantage of some of those wins? What's your thoughts there, Lisa?
Well, you're absolutely right. if you are in the forward-thinking, proactive category, as I'm sure your members are, then the actually this is all great news because you're going to have more opportunities than ever before. What I see happening is that the supply chain disruptions are definitely not lessening, and they're going to worsen actually as the proactive companies are reconfiguring their supply chains and revamping their supply chains and upgrading them. So as that happens, the what's going to happen is your competition won't be able to serve customers reliably, and so then it's going to be a huge opportunity for those that are resilient, thinking forward, and are prepared to take on the volume. So for those folks, I think there's going to be a bigger opportunity than really any time in history. Maybe the only time that we can compare to it is, strangely enough, during the Great Depression, there was more companies that were successful and set themselves up for the next several decades occurred during that time. Now, I'm not expecting a Great Depression, so we won't leave you on that note. But I think that this disruptive global supply chain and the reconfigurations that are going on are a similar situation as far as what companies are experiencing. And so if you are forward-looking, resilient, and willing to, you set yourself up to be able to scale up quickly and, scale down in a way that doesn't, it's not like you hire and fire people on a daily basis. That's never a good idea. But if you can set yourself up so that you can scale up rapidly and you can be flexible with changing conditions, you are going to have more opportunities than ever before, and you can target your customers to more of an ideal customer base. And so I think actually, it's, could be the best decades ever for your members.
That's great. No, that's great insight. Yeah. And it's almost, why not try new things, right? Fail and be okay with it, fail fast and then move on, move on from there. So great insight, Lisa. I appreciate, the look and more positive look towards the future. And yeah, certainly, plenty of opportunities, I think, that are membership based that they can advance through. Well, Lisa, I appreciate your time and carving time out to give your insight and talk with our members and give some best practices. I guess any closing thoughts or any other, you mentioned technology also a couple times, and we can certainly have that AI conversation. But any other closing thoughts or just other recommendations for our members as we close out our time together? Love to kind of open it up your way and, any parting or closing thoughts, Lisa?
Well, as you said, our conversation was categorized with looking at risk, mitigating risk. But I would say that in addition to making sure that you're, assessing your risk, I would also assess your supply chain for the future. So look at how well is your supply chain set up for the future, because things are changing at a rapid pace today, because, the smart, proactive companies are doing what I'm saying, and that is diversifying risk, reshoring certain, at least part of their production. They are, implementing process upgrades and that type of thing. So as your supply chain partners change as well, it's going to mean the supply chains will evolve even further, because, your partners change means you're going to end up changing. So as the supply chain changes, you need to be thinking about, one, setting it up, reconfiguring your supply chain, and setting it up for the future so that you can best support your customers with quick service and superior customer value, but of course at a reasonable cost. Second of all, you want to set your supply chain up so that you can have profitable growth. So you can't forget about, and of course no executive would, but you can't forget about the profit side of things. Now that might go out the window if you end up backed into a corner with some sort of a risk blowing up on you, because everything, will you know, your money will start flowing out like no tomorrow. So it's better to get it prepared in advance and make sure you set up your supply chain to be more vigilant, but at the same time, profitable. And so there are ways to do that. One is upgrading your processes, better utilizing your systems and advanced technologies, even artificial intelligence, as you brought it up. But basically those robotics, it just depends on the situation, but there's a lot of opportunities to be more profitable. Also, even like looking at customer product profitability and those types of things. So set it up for the future, make sure you remember your profitability. And then I would say, you know, always, of course, keep your customers in mind. So as you're keep track of what's happening with your customers, you might be so focused on supply chain disruptions, you forget about your customers. Well, they're evolving too, and they might be moving as well. So make sure that you're in lockstep with what's happening with your customers and that you understand how you can even help them, because the only way that you'll be successful is looking at your supply chain as a end-to-end supply chain is only as strong as the weakest link. So you need to make sure that you're helping and that you're receiving and you're open to help from all of your supply chain partners.
Sure. Yeah. Almost plotting out your A customers, B customers, C customers, and then almost having that difficult conversation, ones that we sort of have to let go. So a lot of good insights. And Lisa, you've been gracious. Your team shares, you know, from time to time, different press releases. You know, we share it on the ASC news section on our website and, you know, just different as it relates to supply chain. So we thank you for feeding us and your resources to our members over the past year. I guess if our member, how do they get a hold of you? Or, you know, you've got I think I signed up for your weekly or daily newsletter, you know, on your website, but just for our members to get some of your nuggets and insights and resources, any thoughts on how they can get a hold of you, Lisa, or is there a place on your website that they can grab your newsletter sort of information? Thoughts there, please.
Oh, absolutely. So go to LMA-consultinggroup.com, all one word. And that has has access to sign up for the newsletter. As you said, there's a weekly newsletter. And then I also have a monthly a newsletter that has articles of value. Also on the website, you can do a complimentary download of a special report where I talk a lot about it and I bring in trusted advisors from across manufacturing, supply chain, and technology spectrum to talk about a lot of what we talked about today and what you should be doing about it. So feel free to download that special report, which is under the book section of the website. And then the third thing is also under the book section of the website, it's also on the homepage, is a special report on SIOP, which is that sales inventory operations planning process I talked about. It's an ebook. It's also available on Amazon if you prefer to pay. And it's about SIOP, what you should be thinking about and how you should, ideas for implementing it and rolling it out successfully.
Well, Lisa Anderson, we appreciate your time and thanks for getting this set up with us and have good upcoming holidays. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you who tuned in. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. And don't forget to make sure you don't miss out on future shows. Make sure you like and follow us.